2016 Eastern States 20-miler. I have always liked this race. It sits on the calendar as a well-managed local 20-miler, just 3 weeks typically out from Boston, perfectly positioned as that last long run. It's a flat course down the eastern seaboard, starting in Kittery, Maine, running the entire length of New Hampshire, and finishing in Massachusetts. It's a relatively scenic course with the ocean on your left shoulder and the classic oceanfront bric-a-brac salted all along the course. There are enough runners to always have someone to pace with and to talk to, but not so many that you ever feel crowded or inconvenienced. It's a friendly race, and I've run it at least a dozen times. At 20 miles, the race is long enough to scare off the half-marathon crowd, and most of the people on the course are fairly competent and training for Boston. I like the 20-mile distance. I refer to it as a middle-distance race, but all I mean is that it's longer than a 10K and shorter than a marathon. Back when I first started running the Eastern States back in the 90s, it was a godsend to have these nice local 20-milers and 30Ks sprinkled through the New England spring race calendar. You can practice your craft in an actual race, on an actual course, as you build your fitness towards Boston. It adds a nice rhythm and structure to your training. It makes it less monastic and detached. From its position on the calendar in late March, it is typically safe from any real weather issues. The worst we have ever gotten is a little wind and rain. There is always a sea breeze, but it's pushing a glance on your shoulder for most of the course and not slapping you in the face. I always thought it was cool to run through three states in one race. Beyond the friendly, cool vibe, it's managed by one of the local veterans of the running scene, Don Allison, who used to own Ultra Running Marathon magazine, and he does a great job keeping this labor of love running and dealing with the egress of three states and multiple New England towns and their puckish jurisdictions. The thing I like most about the Eastern States 20-miler is the pace practice. Since it falls late in your marathon training cycle, you have a decent amount of fitness going in, and you can use the course to practice your racing tactics. The flattishness of the course allows you to lock your pace in and practice your splits in the test tube of salt marshes and two-lane blacktop sandy shoulders. It's a late start race. I didn't have to get up at some absurd ass crack of dawn time to get there. The older I get, the more jealous I am of a good night's sleep. And due to the Easter holiday, they had to shift the race to Saturday this year. I rolled out and drove up to Salisbury Beach, parked and hopped in the school bus for the $5 ride up to the start in Kittery. It's a point-to-point, so you have to either have a chauffeur or take the bus. I was curious how my legs would respond. I had run a 20-mile training run the previous Sunday, and it was the end of a build cycle for me. This would be a second 20-miler within 7 days. I'm still figuring out where the line is drawn as I get older, but up to this point, my training and racing had been tracking perfectly. I met my friends, Brian, Paul, and Jen from my running club in the gym at the Trape Academy, and we took some pictures. Team Hoyt came in with Rick and Dick and Brian Lyons, and I got a picture with them. Jen and I introduced ourselves to Becca Peasy, who was fresh off her 7 marathons on 7 continents in 7 days adventure. I had grabbed an old shirt from the pile for my base layer under my Hoyt singlet. It was projected to be partially cloudy in the mid-40s, a little too chilly with the breeze for just a singlet. But in the warm confines of the gym, I quickly discovered that the tech t-shirt I selected for my undershirt had the stinky shirt disease, and I had to toss it in the trash. Otherwise, people around me would be passing out, and vultures would be making strafing runs at me. Luckily, I had another shirt with me and was able to swap out. The shirt the race gave out had a giant logo on the front in one of those stiff appliques like the iron-on patches in the 70s, that was a fail and went straight to the donation pile when I got home. With the new shirt, I ended up having nice bloody nipples at the finish. When I was changing in the bus back, I held it up and asked loudly, "Why do men have nipples anyhow?" I had my Hokas, my Brooks baggy shorts, and my bike bottle of Yukon. I train how I race. That way there is no surprise. I ran a good 10-minute warm-up around the town and found a secluded place to empty my bladder. At the starting line, Dawn said a few words, and we started out in a big crowd of 500 runners or so. I got passed by Jen, who was running too fast for her fitness, I thought, so I tucked in behind her and followed her over the drawbridge and through the first 3 miles. My Garmin pace was bouncing all around, and it looked to me like we were doing 7:30s to 7:40s. The average pace when I posted it up was right on 8-minute miles through this section. In retrospect, I should have learned from this that I shouldn't try to pace by my Garmin, because the same thing bit me at Boston. One worrying thing was that my heart rate was tracking way too high. It was way up in zone 4 and zone 5 and wouldn't normalize. Usually 10 to 20 minutes into a race, my heart rate will drop down into zone 2 or 3, but it never did. And I think it was because I was at the end of a build cycle and a bit overtrained at this point. You can race in zone 4 and 5, but it's above your aerobic threshold, and at some point you're going to crash. It's like driving your car in second gear. Eventually, it's going to burn out. I had the fitness, so I just tried to relax and stay close to my pace. Jen fell off the pace, and I chatted up the folks around me as we pounded down the coast. This is where I met Sandra, the organic runner mom, who I filed away as a future podcast conversation. There was some dude in orange camo tights in front of us, and I was wondering out loud exactly what those would camouflage you from. We chatted and tried to hold the pace at 8-minute miles and tried to relax to get my heart rate down. I was struggling to feel the pace, but I just stayed with it. My pace was all over the place. But we managed to post in the low 750s for miles 4, 5, 6, and 7. Mile 7 is the starting point for the half marathon. That's where the starting line is. And I know it's there, and I also know there's a big bank of porta potties. I felt like I should stop and pee, so I peeled off and jumped into one of the empty porta-potties. Once inside, my body inconveniently decided to remind me of the half jar of cashews that I indulged in the night before, and my 30-second pee break turned into a 2.5-minute rest of a different sort. Coming out of the unplanned rest stop, I was a bit annoyed and took off like my tail was on fire. Mile 8 was 9:33. With the stop, and mile 9 was a 7:30, and mile 10 was a 7:27. Mile 11 was the slowest of the seven, as I ran a 7:46, trying to settle down a little. I was passing people by bunches, and eventually caught up with Paul, and we ran together for a while, but I was jonesing for the speed, and I took off. I was talking to Paul about the pace, and how 7:30s didn't feel much harder than 8s, and my heart rate was high either way, so why not just race? I sipped through my Yukon and had a good nutrition balance. I popped an Enduralyte every 10K or so. I was sweating and wanted to make sure I didn't get salt cramps. When you get into the final miles, the course gets a bit grim. The off-season strip along Hampton Beach is sandy and dusty and colorless. With 1.2 miles to go, there's a bridge that crosses you over into Massachusetts. For some reason, there is always a guy there saying less than a mile to go, which is just cruel. As I pulled into mile 18, I started to lose power a little and dropped the pace from my peppy 7:30s and 7:40s to a bit slower than an 8-minute mile. Not a total collapse, but enough of a power loss to scare me. And Paul caught me from behind, tapped me on the shoulder, and looked at me and said, "Come on, let's go." And I thought, go? Go where? I'm just trying to hang on. And he took off. I tried to clean up my form and soldiered on for a couple miles. I knew the course and knew where the finish was, and I knew I could probably hang on. At this point, we were starting to catch the walkers of the half marathon as we approached the bridge. We were also catching the local elites doing their warm downs going the other way. The road was pretty bad, and I was trying to run the smooth bits. The bridge itself is a bitch. If you want to run on the sidewalk, you have to hop up onto a foot-high curb or stay on the road and face the cars. This and the little climb can knock people out at this point in the race. It's more psychological than anything else. The other bitchy thing is that if you don't know the course, you'd think the finish line is in sight when you cross the bridge. Add to that some knucklehead giving bad information, and people lose hope in this stretch. In fact, the finish line is more than a mile away, and there is a little gradual climb in that last mile. By this time, I had recovered a bit, and as Brian says, could smell the barn. I was grinding, but I was holding a good pace and making it work. I caught Sandra on the bridge, and she was limping. I yelled at her to suck it up and geared down for the push into the finish. Mostly I was passing, but some strong kickers passed me too. Cresting the little hill, I saw the traffic cones ahead and lowered myself to the work of closing it out. Pushing through the chute, I managed to pull my form together for the camera, and that last little bit my Garmin recorded as a 7:08 mile. I was happy with being able to beat my race pace goal, especially at the end of a long training cycle. I did pace badly, but was able to recover and hold race pace through the tape. My notes from the race read, legs strong, no injuries. Heart rate high, but not sure if it was the effort or something else. Pacing, not as bad as I thought. Good close, not sure I could have stretched the race pace to 26. Mile 17 and 18 power loss is kiss of death at Boston. Hard to recover at Boston in the hills. Yeah, I put that in my notes. We'll be able to hold back better on downhills at Boston. Know the course. 16K runners to pass might be an issue. I need a strategy. Need to work on nutrition, lose some weight, avoid potty breaks. Maybe position some UCAN on the course. 2x20 in same week. Need some taper. Might have been a little overtrained, or nutrition, or bug. Right where I need to be. Need to continue to execute and focus. Note that prescient bit about no way to recover at mile 18 at Boston? Yeah, I probably should have reread those notes. That was a good race, one of my favorites. Paul ended up winning his age class and had a great race. Jen and Brian faded. I really like this race, and I hope Donnie has the strength to keep it going for future generations.